What was it like to hear about the JFK assassination? Or America's triumph over Hitler? We're seeing Queen at Live Aid. Our past is a collection of stories that bring us to now. Welcome to the Eyewitness History Podcast, where we view history through the eyes of the people that watch the events that shaped our world. Here's your host, Josh Cohen, and these are their stories.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Josh Cohen. This episode, we hear from Janice Gush. Dallas native Janice Gush was only 14 years old when President John F. Kennedy was killed. Although she was too young to vote, she was nonetheless an admirer of the young president and his glamorous wife. On November 22, 1963, in Dallas, while riding in the presidential motorcade through Dealey Plaza, Kennedy was in the vehicle with his wife Jacqueline, Texas Governor John Connally, and Connally's wife Nellie, when he was fatally shot from a nearby building by Lee Harvey Oswald. Governor Connally was seriously wounded in the attack. The motorcade was rushed to the local hospital, where Kennedy was pronounced dead about 30 minutes after the shooting. On the morning of the presidential entourage's arrival in Dallas, Gush and a friend were so determined to see JFK and Jackie, they skipped school. Here, Gush gives her oral testimony.
My name is Janice Gush. Janice is based in Gush, and I live here in Dallas, Texas.
Janice begins by describing her sentiments towards JFK and what she thought about him.
I was very enamored with him and the whole Camelot, situation. Jackie Kennedy, she was, to me, the first lady we'd ever had in office that was beautiful. And then they had those little children. So it was just like like Camelot, So yes, I thought he was incredibly attractive. And even though I was young, I still liked the way he talked and the things that he said.
Janice goes on to describe seeing the Kennedy motorcade drive past her in Dallas.
I was standing right there on Lemon Avenue in Dallas, and the side street is Mana. And I was standing there on the curb, and as the motorcade came by, I know Connally and his wife were in the motorcade. I paid no attention to them. I just saw him. And what struck me was how bushy his eyebrows were, and he had on a striped shirt, and I just thought what a handsome man he was. And when I saw Jackie, she was like the epitome of a beautiful woman, and her lips didn't match the pink in her suit, with that pink and navy suit. And I remember because I had these big pink plastic rollers in my hair that they wore back in the day. And, of course, I'm young. I didn't have enough sense to take them out. And I remember he looked at me and his eyebrows shot up. And the way she looked at me was kind of like, typical Texas person. but that's what. And I didn't pay attention to Johnson, the Kennedys were the one I looked at. And I was just thrilled that I had gotten to see him, and so close. And he smiled at me and everything. So it was a, very big deal for me.
At this point, Janice describes exactly where she was when she first heard that John F. Kennedy was shot.
Gone back to my apartment, and my friend and I were going back up to what was called Skillern's back in the day. And there was this lady in the parking lot, and she was hysterical, and she was crying, and she kept saying, "Not in Dallas, not in Dallas." And so I walked up to her, and I just said, "Ma'am, is there anything, we can do to help you?" And she was, I remember she looked at me and her, she was so upset, and she said, they've killed him. And I thought she meant maybe someone, her family. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, who's dead? And she said, "They've shot the president." And I remember I said, "Oh, no, I just saw them, like 40 minutes before." And I really didn't believe her. I just thought, oh, there's no way this would have happened. So we walked on in Skillern's, and it was just like you see in a movie. It was, everybody was really still, and they had the TV on, and Walter Cronkite was talking about what had happened in Dallas. And I remember looking at the pharmacist that I knew, and he had a tear running down his cheek, and I thought, oh my God, it's really true. It just, disbelief that this could have happened. Just disbelief. It's had a hard time But when you saw Walter Cronkite, you knew, yep, this is true.
Coming up here, Janice describes what the emotional atmosphere was like in Dallas immediately following the Kennedy assassination.
I remember it just seemed so dark. You know, a lot of sadness. I remember people around feeling just awful that it happened. And then there were some people that were glad that it did. You know, to be honest, I was very surprised they came to Dallas because I felt like there was a lot of hatred towards them. And I was real surprised they came to Dallas without the bubble on the car.
From here, Janice talks about meeting Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby will, of course, be known in history as the man who murdered Lee Harvey Oswald when he fatally shot him on November 24th, 1963, while Oswald was in police custody after being charged with the murder of Kennedy. A Dallas jury found Ruby guilty of murdering Oswald and sentencing him to death. In September 1964, the Warren Commission concluded that Ruby acted alone in killing Oswald. Various groups believed Ruby was involved with major figures in organized crime and that he killed Oswald as part of an overall plot surrounding the assassination of Kennedy.
Yes, yes, I met him once. I'd gone down there and she was there and I happened to meet him. And he was very nice, you know. I didn't stay long, but Mother always talked about what a generous person he was. And so when I saw on TV when he shot Oswald, it was like, oh my God, that's Jack Ruby. Because he always wore that hat. And I thought, oh my God. And so that was a big, big shocker to see that happening. And then within a few days, it seemed that the FBI showed up at our apartment to talk to my mother. And I remember that was just terrifying for me. I opened the door and there was these two guys standing there in these suits and they showed me this badge and they said, we're here to see Mary Jane Nelson Bays in Missy here. And I was like, I remember just shutting the door in their face. Ran upstairs and I said, Mother, the FBI's here. And in my teenage mind, because my father was big into drugs and he was missing. And I remember saying to her, did y'all kill the president? Which is stupid. But he's like, oh, I have quite the enemy on here, you know?
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was very, very frightening.
Is there anything else that you'd like to mention or get on the record for me, Janice?
Well, you know, I don't know what it would be. You know, that's my story right there. Like I said, I was very enamored with them. I know people here were not. And it was just such disbelief that it could have happened. And I think the other thing that I thought back then and I still feel now is how everyone that was involved is dead before it could even have gone to trial. And I think that's where a lot of people come up with a conspiracy because, you know, Kennedy, Oswald, and the Jack Ruby, gone. And so there's no one to say this is what really happened, which is why I think there's still such an interest today.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information on eyewitness history, along with show notes and links to resources, go to ParthenonPodcast.com, where you can also listen to some other great podcasts by the Parthenon Network, such as Scott Rank's History Unplugged, Steve Guerra's Beyond the Big Screen, and James Early's Key Battles of American History, along with many others. Thank you.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.